from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
2360 is one of my favorite places in Memphis because it's where you can get better at the game of basketball. If you have a son or a daughter in the house that's falling in love with the game, think about the 2360, brand new 50,000 square foot facility, multiple NBA courts, multiple high school courts, multiple shooting bays. You can get that work in, get some games in, and you will notice a difference in the skill. I promise you. It is back, invested in by NBA players. NBA players use it. There's a reason. Shoot 360. Couple locations here in Memphis.
Yep, whether you're an aspiring young hooper or you're one of the local pros in town, you need a unique workout. You can get it all out at Shoot 360. They've got it from level to level, all of them. And they can take care of whatever needs that you have. Again, John mentioned it now. Two locations, 1375 Big Orange Road. That's where the big new place is in the 85 Market Center Drive. We've completed renovations in Collierville as well. And so both can serve your needs. Membership works for both. Call them up, 901-779-3176. Again, 779-3176. Get your membership now. Don't get passed by. The future basketball trainers here. It's at Shoot 360 Memphis.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, so some news over at the University of Memphis. We had women's soccer coach Brooks Mogan on the show last week, and you could kind of tell that he was holding back something. He was just raving about, you know, Laird Beach and the support of the University of Memphis. And you can just kind of tell that maybe there was something he wanted to say but couldn't because of, you know, pending announcements and things of that nature. Well, now we know exactly what that is because the University of Memphis had a press conference earlier today to announce the creation of the Liza Welford Fletcher Stadium, which is a state-of-the-art facility dedicated to the memory of former Memphis women's soccer player Liza Fletcher, who, as many know, was abducted and killed in September 2022. So they got the full support of the Fletcher family. It's the Liza's Light University of Memphis Soccer and Track Stadium Fund that they have established. So they are going to raise some funds for this new facility. Obviously, as Jeff writes today at the Daily Memphian, it celebrates women's sports and women's excellence. It celebrates the soccer program that won its first conference title when Fletcher played forward on the team. It celebrates the university where Fletcher chose to begin her studies in the city that she continued to call home. And as he says, indeed, at a time when so much attention is inevitably focused on the way Fletcher died, this project celebrates the way she lived. So, I think it's a great gesture. It's, again, deserved for a Memphis women's soccer team that has been the standard at Memphis for any sport, that has been the you know, the torchbearer, so to speak, of you know, continued success. So I'm happy to see that. Obviously, you know, with the circumstances here, I think a lot of people will want to get involved and make this happen. You know, I think it's obviously great news for Brooks Monaghan. You know, again, one more reason for him to not have to look anywhere else. He's getting, you know, a brand new state-of-the-art facility. And obviously the cause behind it is moving as well. So good things on the horizon for University of Memphis women's soccer. Again, it's going to be a new stadium. The creation of Liza Welford Fletcher Stadium. And I don't know exactly when, you know, completion.
We're on the timeline yet.
Yeah, I don't think we have that.
Got to get the funds and everything.
Yeah, but, you know, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
It's 1,500 seats, so hopefully it's something once you've got all the funds, you can get done pretty quickly. You're not talking about it, you know, a huge undertaking here, you wouldn't think, in terms of putting it together. And so once you've got the, was it $7 million to start, you know, hopefully you can get rolling on this thing pretty quickly. And you're only talking about being a couple of seasons away and not something that's, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road.
Yeah, Brooks tells a story in the piece from Jeff where, you know, he talks about they all wore armbands and they dedicated the season to her. And on the bench, he had her number 26 sitting next to him every game. And he talks about this game specifically in the conference tournament against UCF where the game goes to a shootout. They take five kicks. We take five kicks. It's still tied. So then it goes into sudden death. They shoot first. We shoot second. I still can't believe what happened next. A Central Florida player stands up. What number is she? Number 26. She steps up. She hits the post. And the commentator, who didn't know anything about Liza, says Memphis must have had a guardian angel sitting on the post. We step up, score the next one. We beat Central Florida. We go on to our first Sweet 16. So, yeah, obviously just a very moving story. And, you know, you never quite know when tragedy strikes how you're going to handle it and how it's going to look, you know, whether that's personally or whatever the case may be. And you always, I think, hope that something beautiful can come from it, that you can find a way to, you know, like I was watching this documentary over the weekend on HBO Max. It was just a very tragic, I won't get into the details, but it was just a very tragic, you know, family that was targeted and murdered. And the father was the only survivor of this home invasion. It happened in like 2007, and he lost two daughters and he lost his wife, and he survived. So what did he do? What did he do in the wake of that tragedy? He started a foundation, a Pettit Foundation, where there are runs every year to honor his family and his daughters. One of them was going to Dartmouth. And so you find, you know, things like that. You know, obviously, you know, you would like to never have to do that. You would like to never have to dedicate something. You'd like for those people to still be here. But... you know, the situation is what it is. And so you have to try to find something positive and hope that something positive can come from it. So I think this is the best you can do. And it's a very moving, you know, decision. And I look forward to seeing what it looks like. And I think they sent some renderings out.
Yeah, it'll look good.
Yeah, so it'll
keys
be...
those, you know, those locker rooms.
Yep.
It's such an upgrade. You have a lounge area. It looked really nice.
Exactly. So, look, you know, you can't undo tragedy, right? You can't. It's what do you do to move forward? And I think for Memphis, you know, this is the way. So anyway, that's the news over at the University of Memphis today.
Next story.
All right, NFL says they're probably not going to be moving touchbacks on these kickoffs. You know, it's, you know, Hard Knocks tonight, obviously for Chicago Bears. It's one thing that they haven't discussed a lot of, and I'll get to the point here, is a lot of what they're doing with their special teams work. And maybe that's because teams are still sort of in the decision-making process or trying not to show what they're going to do fully when we open up the regular season. However, remember why we've got these new kickoff rules, because the NFL wanted to increase the number of returns. It dropped too much. And what they've got now, here you've got some data in now. The average starting position through the second full weekend of exhibition games for offenses is the 28.3 yard line, according to the NFL. They're using the 0.3 to make the point that it's up 4.4 yards, about 4.5 yards from last season. So that is working. They have asked, because many are concerned,
yep,
that what's going to happen come regular season is to avoid the explosivity of a kickoff return, to avoid that and the chances that you'll give up one, is that many of these teams are just going to kick it straight on through the end zone because the touchback is at the 30. And so many had said in the original, the NFL, the original competition committee had moved it to the 35. They decided against that, decided we're going to make it the 30, and that's where the sort of discussion is here now, because the feeling is that a lot of teams aren't going to take the risk. You'll end up at the 30. Is that going to be enough? They're going to stick with that plan for now. Again, you talk about moving up to the 35, and you're going to really start making some teams think. But I think, again, and we discussed this a few weeks back, I think it still stands true. Most teams are just going to kick it through and let you start at that 30-yard line and just go ahead and say, and say, you know, drive it 70 yards on us. Because if you, I mean, they're, you know, I've looked around, whether it's teams acquiring a Cordell Patterson or the Bears have had Pettis now for 2 years, but they're going to use him, it looks like. Like, their teams are going to try to get, you know, put an explosive guy back there now because this play has been revitalized. And so to sort of avoid a potential Devin Hester type, you know, guy emerging or the damage it could do to start off a game for you. I think most of these teams, and most of these kickers seem like they have the ability to do so, kick it through the end zone. Seems like that's what we were seeing most of last year. So while we're seeing them sort of right now try to fit it in the hole and avoid that penalty, I think when we get to the season, they're going to kick it through and it's going to throw out a lot of this planning anyway. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Again, all trying to figure out what's going to happen. But so far, the NFL's happy because the starting field position is up. And more importantly, the return percentage is up as well. So we'll see. Just 2 weeks. It's a small sample size.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part here, especially when you consider that we might not be really seeing what teams are going to do.
Yeah.
But teams will adjust.
So let's talk about preseason for a little bit. I saw this analysis from Warren Sharp. Offenses are averaging minus 0.13 EPA per play going back to 2017. That's the worst. 35% success rate for offenses in the preseason. That is the worst. Quarterbacks averaging only negative 0.10 EPA per drop back. That's the worst. We're talking about preseason. QBs averaging only 6.2 yards per attempt. That's the worst. Completing only 60.9% of their attempts. That's the worst. Teams averaging 15.6 per game. That's the lowest of any year. So you texted me this yesterday. Unders are 27-6 in the preseason. That's 82%. That's even better than Fade Brat. I think maybe we might have been 82% at one point, but you know that's settled in. So Warren Sharp. He theorizes that Warren Sharp theorizes that there's less defensive penalties being called. In fact, there are less defensive penalties being called. 85 to this point this year through 2 weeks of preseason as opposed to 123 at this time last year. So, you know, a difference of what? You know, 38 less. Fewer, I should say, defensive penalties called, and that's a reduction of 32-38%. And now, on the other side of that, 220 offensive penalties. So, you know, you are dealing with a whole lot more offensive penalties and a whole lot less defensive penalties in the preseason. Now, is this just a preseason thing? Are we not going to see, or is this going to, you know, switch to, you know, normal and regulate in the regular season? I don't know, but you are seeing a 47% decline in roughing the passer, a 39% decline in defensive pass interference, 24% decline in defensive holding, and a 57% decline in offsides. So it probably is just more of preseason, you know, where refs just want to get home, would be my guess.
That's what
you know?
I'm thinking.
But,
I mean, they cut the Hall of Fame game short even.
Yes. You
know, although it was a monsoon, it looked like.
Yes. So, but I did kind of find it interesting, and because the kickoff was put in to increase scoring, right? That's what it was designed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Indirectly, they want more scoring.
Yeah.
And
kickoff return percentage.
Yeah.
You're looking for more scoring.
Yeah. So that's not working. And
it was 22% last year.
Yeah.
Returns.
Yeah. And so it is more. But here's the thing. Here's the truth. When we get into the regular season, teams are not going to the good teams are not going to give you a chance to return it. They're just going to kick it back into the end zone. That's what they're going to do. They're just going to decide not to let you return it.
So there were more numbers. That's interesting. Kind of speaks to what you're saying. So this year, 78% of the kicks have been returned. Remember I said 22%.
Yep.
It was an all-time low last year.
Yep.
But this time last year, let's just go back to last year's preseason.
Yeah.
63% were still being returned. You see the big difference in preseason
right.
through 2 weeks last
right.
year, and then the drop-off to 22%. And so that's what, yes, to your point, teams are going to completely change this thing. You're not going to try to get it in that zone at all. You're going to kick it through the end zone. There aren't going to be any returns. And so either way, the number you have to figure is going to drop down drastically
yep.
in terms of the percentage, just like it did last year. I mean, last year it goes from 63% to 22% once we got in the regular season. That's what they're trying to up, yes, to your point, to increase scoring, increase big plays. There's going to be we're going to go back. There's going to be sort of a regressing back.
Yep.
But you certainly don't expect it to be as low as 22%. My thing is just, yes, teams aren't going to take that chance because they know. I mean, you've been working on in the preseason. You've acquired players in some senses, maybe for a roster spot. For a special teams guy to do that, why would we take that chance on, again, seeing another Devin Hester out here that's going to be Cordarrelle Patterson back in his day? Hell, he's still on. Who did I see him with?
He's with the Steelers, with Arthur Smith.
Still playing,
brother.
Had a great year for Atlanta. Do you remember who drafted him last year? Played for Atlanta. They were running him around.
Because
do you remember who drafted him?
They had to be the Bears.
Minnesota.
Oh my!
I knew I could get you with that.
Damn, he's been around.
Now you, Mr.
That brother, has been around.
Man, Cordarrelle been around, bro. He returned like kick on us in his first season.
Damn,
first or second season he was running.
He played for the Raiders.
How many teams Cordarrelle played for?
Six.
Dude, I'm telling you, the Steelers got him for special teams. But I saw him running him out of the backfield in that preseason the other day. Of course, you don't want to run Najee into the ground too bad, or Jaylen Warren. They had him running out of the backfield. Atlanta was using him everywhere, felt like, last couple of years. Cordarrelle just will not go. He's a dinosaur, but still runs a 4.4. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But back to the point, Cordarrelle, nobody's going to give him a chance.
Right.
He thinks he's alive again. He thinks he's going to be returning kickers again. You're going to kick it through the end zone and make him take it at the 30.
Yeah.
Eventually, I think the NFL should look at moving it up to the 35, which was the original, the original thought of the committee. That's how you keep kickers from, make it 35 or 40.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're talking. Then you're going to see some returns. That return rate really go up.
I mean, this would be a great trivia question, right? Here's what I would ask you. Like
Cordarrelle.
Who is this player? 4-time first team all pro, 3-time second all pro, Super Bowl champion, and played for 6 different teams. Literally no one would be able to get that question. No one would be able to answer it because it's Cordarrelle Patterson.
You would need more clues.
It's just two. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see, yeah.
Because you would think,
that's crazy. Like, now all those Pro Bowls are special teams.
They are, but I mean he's all pro.
All pro special teamer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, Hester's going to have a
4-time Pro Bowler.
Who did he get the Super Bowl with?
It was the Pats.
They would have been the last team I named him on in terms of the teams I remember him playing for.
Yeah.
Man got a ring.
He also has 2 NFL records. What are they?
Longest kickoff return.
Tied, 109 yards. I guess it's like more of a play, 109-yard play.
You can't go longer, right?
Right.
You can't go 110.
So he's tied.
It's the back of the end zone.
And then the other record is most career kickoff return touchdowns. He holds that record with 9.
So it's Hester's got punts.
Right.
People make that mistake all the time. I probably made that mistake.
Yeah, because Calvin,
Hester owns
Calvin
the kickoff return
returns
record.
Punts. He doesn't do kickoffs.
I saw that. I was watching that.
Yeah.
He's firmly entrenched on that.
Oh, they love him there. Let him get loose once. That's their best offense.
Bro, I'm just saying. He makes that first man miss, and then he gets lit up. Calvin, did you see it this weekend?
Yeah.
He was taking some shots, and I don't know how that young man gets right back up the way he does. I know that's important, particularly to diminutive NFL players, that you pop back up so that you look like they hit them. But they tried to kill our brother.
Yes, they did. They did.
It's vicious, man. You got to be a warrior to play to be on punt return and be the guy because they're coming after your head.
Yes, they are
every time down.
Yeah, I always worry about him a little bit.
I do too, man. He was taking some shit. He always makes first man miss.
That's he does.
But then about 5 of them.
That's exactly right, man. That's an interesting because that is how
dude,
it goes.
That is scary. That's one of the that's scarier than taking a handoff,
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of decide. Okay, there's some holes up here. Oh, there's not some holes. I can go down, bro. They are flying past you. That punt return team, and then they're trying to hit you. It's like running through a war zone. You know, bombs coming at you in some ways.
Yeah, it's the
Calvin brave soul, brother. They raised him right over Harding.
Yeah, we'll
braver
see.
Than me.
I mean, I'll be interested in that.
Memphis.
Arthur Smith spoke earlier today, the OC in Pittsburgh, and he said, "Relax, everybody, just relax."
Bro, they're gonna run Najee into the ground, I guarantee.
Have they not already? I feel like he's
dude. Apparently, he had a slick good year last year. If you can believe it.
Did he?
Yes. Not like top three, top four, but a slick, solid year was there all year long.
Yeah.
So, with no threat of pass between Russ and Justin, that run game, you're just going to stack them up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if it's him or Jaylen Warren or Cordero Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
If Russ and Justin can't get the ball downfield, they will have no run game. It's going to be a long, long year for the Steelers. And we got a lot of Steelers fans in town. Y'all know it, too. Because y'all watched this pathetic quarterback play you got. Just think of it as a wash season like the Grizzlies last year.
Oh, that's what I do.
And try to if you're a Steelers fan, I'm speaking to, not yourself. Well, Your whole franchise should be washed.
The same applies.
But the Steelers are a proud one that make the playoffs every year. This is going to be a little bit different for them. Okay?
Yeah, it is. I mean,
so consider it a wash and hope that y'all come back and that Dak Prescott is available.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it should be a fun year. We'll see what happens. I do think the kickoffs will change. Those rules will change.
Well, they'll need to because, like I'm telling you, those numbers are going to go down.
Because, yeah.
Kickers are going to kick it through the end zone.
Exactly. Because the five yards, right, is not worth the
variance. The 30 and the 35 is a pretty big difference.
Now, that is
different. I'm fine with the 30. Drive at 70 on my defense.
Exactly.
Now, you start talking about 35 and 40, yeah, I'm not going to kick it through the end zone anymore. You're just giving them too much. So I think eventually they will have to adjust it, I believe.
Yes, because you
have to get that rate up.
You have to make it more punitive.
Correct.
Right? Because, again, if that's the idea is for – because that's what happens, right? What ends up happening is – and I still do this. I got to train my brain. After a touchdown or a field goal, I leave the room. I'm going to get what I need to get. I got to go to the bathroom. I got to go get – so I'll just go – I go, like, remind my kids
I'm telling
alive,
you right now, for the most part, that's still going to stand up this year.
I think it will. I think it will.
Yeah, that rate's not going to go up as much as they hope it will.
Yeah, you want the kickoff – if you're going to do it, you want it to change potentially some themes of the game. Otherwise, just start the damn thing at
now,
30.
Now, all this moving, I've kind of, like, forgot where we are. But when you used to kick that thing out of bounds –
before,
it was the 40.
Yes, out of bounds. Was the 40.
And that was a real penalty.
Yes.
And that's what I'm talking about. This doesn't feel like a real penalty yet.
Right.
You know, to increase the returns.
Right.
To your point, this is not punitive enough.
Yes. And so when you, because like again, let's say we're.
Make that thing the 35 or the 40.
If we're in the Super Bowl,
some
right.
Some teams will change.
And a team kicks a field goal to go up one with, 2:10 left in the game, they are booting that.
They're absolutely booting
it. They're booting it. You're not.
You can't take the chance.
No way. No way.
That's exactly right.
So that's ultimately, it's just not going to have the desired effect.
But the thought originally was the 35. They should have stuck with it.
They
should have stuck with their guns.
Because 35 is like, okay.
Try that and then go up, see if you need to go up to 40. But try 35. 30 is not going
to
be enough.
So 35 to the 50 would be 15 yards. That's basically one play. And then it'd be another 50. So 30 yards gets you in field goal
range. Like two plays.
Yeah. So, you know, as opposed to.
One for some for Patrick.
You know, it's more, you know, like three plays you'd have to get there from the 30, you know.
I like what they're doing. They're good intentions here. I like bringing the kickoff back. They're going to need to adjust a little bit more. And they've acknowledged that they might have to.
Yeah.
Next story.
All right, we talked a little bit about this with Jessica Benson, but it is the story in college football today with these QR codes. Now, do you use QR codes when you see them?
Very rarely, very rarely. Like if I have to sign up for something.
Right.
Yeah, I remember the YouTube TV sign-up seemed like there was stuff you'd throw it on your TV. Have no problem with that.
Yes, and you do it on your phone.
But sounds like this would be much tougher.
Yeah, so Oklahoma State is putting QR codes on their players' helmets that links to a donation page for the school's NIL fund, which is the first time this has ever happened in college football. And I will make a bold prediction, the last time it will happen in college football. These QR codes are going to be 1.5 square inches. They will not be visible from the stands on game day, but if you're watching at home, apparently they believe you will be able to capture these on your phone. Now, I cannot think of a time where the back of a player's helmet was on the screen and close enough for long enough for me to take a picture.
Just when the quarterback, when he's walking up to the huddle, when you're getting the behind-the-scenes view.
I mean, like, yeah, maybe that point, if they do that, if they have that angle. But I think of, like, it's mostly just the aerial.
No, you're right, Nathan. You're casual watching what we're presented with.
Even when you score a touchdown, it's like...
When they get up from being tackled, I suppose, we're seeing it a lot, but just not paying attention.
Oh, I'm going to grab my phone and take a picture. Like, it's like, donate to the NIL fund.
No,
like,
I mean, I guess you could... I mean, everybody's got to stop your screen now, don't they?
You do.
That's what they're banking on, is
but
what
I'm just
it feels
like. I'm just like,
we're going to look like a bunch of clowns up around our TV trying to catch these things.
I would just put the website on the, you know, on the helmet. Like, what's the website name? I'll just, as opposed to me trying to, like, oh damn it.
The whole website on the helmet?
Yeah,
what
mean,
if it was a little bit longer?
On the pants, on something, you know? Like, that would have been, you know, more, I think, practical. Like, nobody is going to be able to do this. Nobody's going to be, oh, crap, NIL, I got to donate.
Now, this, the NIL just goes directly into a pot, not into the individual accounts
no,
of these players.
No, it does not. It does not. It goes into
that would seem to be key.
So Gundy, of course, is just Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State football
coach. I was just reading about him saying, we got to stop talking about all the money right now and just play football, too.
Yes. He said, now it's just about football. I just think it's one of those things where you're trying to look busy as an athletic department, as a marketing department, and this is just not going to generate any kind of, I mean, you got a headline out of it. Okay, congratulations. You're not going to get any NIL money out of it. You're not going to get any NIL donations out of it. You know, I think there would have been better ways to do that than putting it on the damn stupid helmet. So Memphis, don't do this. You know, again, it's easy to criticize, I suppose, without a solution. I'd have to get in the lab and think, but I would like just put something like on a shoulder pad or, you know, some kind of ad, you know, where it's less hard to see. Like, again, I don't want to have to, ooh, touchdown, Cowboys, let me, you know, think about all the old people that are watching. They ain't going to be able to help. They're not going to be able to get their phones out in time and take, oh, got the link, got it. You know, like, remember that Coinbase commercial?
I do that all the time when I want to take a picture of Ja after a Grizz game and tweet it out.
Yeah.
I guess. I stop the TV, I get up and see if I can focus in. That's what us old people do.
Okay.
It all the time.
If you think
what they're banking on, it sounds feels like. Because, again, you will only get split-second flashes of these QR codes. So
yeah.
Perhaps more thought should have been put in it. I don't know about going across the helmet and down the jersey.
I mean, let's just be shameless.
If you had a better idea, I could roll with you more.
Let's just be shameless about it. You know, we have to embrace it. This is the way of the world now, so we don't have to hide it. We don't need to try to, you know, shy away from we're trying to get money for our players.
We got to be outside the box. You see, Duke's talking about tailgating inside the stadium.
Now, that's good.
Yeah.
That's fun. On the field?
Yeah.
Before the game.
They're trying to, it's outside. You have to be, so that's what I'm saying on this idea. I don't fault them at all for trying to think outside the box. And again, it's one thing when I call you or send you mailers and so, or I have my AD on and I say, please, guys, we need NIL money in this new world, right? In terms of how much that reaches me or moves me. It's another thing if I see it on television and there's an opportunity with a QR code, yeah, maybe I'm going to miss it. But the point is you're trying something outside the box. And so I'm not, you know, you're right. Ultimately, you're going to need an adjustment, it feels like, here. But I'm not going to fault the outside-the-box thinking. That's what these athletic departments got to be doing.
Yeah.
And Duke's being credited. They got ADs calling them now. Hey, man, we want to try this. How's this going to work for y'all? What are the logistics? But they're going outside the box. They said, tailgate, we're going to bring y'all inside to try to, you know, improve the game day experience, to try to get butts in seats. Because television has made it so easy for the fan to sit at home, sit on his fat tail, sit on my fat tail, and watch it from home very pleasantly. I can tweet about it in real time just like I'm faster than Jeff Calkins can. And he's at the game, you know what I'm saying? Faster than fans can. And TV's made it so convenient.
Right.
What's going to bring me out of my seat, get my lazy butt off my couch, and make this an experience, make me spend my money? What it's separate from your QR discussion, but
yes.
I'm going back to what Duke's doing.
Yes.
You got it. It's a challenge for Memphis this year. You're trying to draw people to a freaking stadium that's being renovated.
Yep.
How do you make that exciting? How do you get people to watch it as opposed to just sitting and seeing and waiting on TV like a lot of us are doing? You know, that's the challenge for a lot of these ADs and these athletic departments, and you have to be an outside-the-box thinker to sort of find the new thing. Because let me tell you, there always will be one.
Yeah.
This Duke AD, this new person they brought in, I think it was actually someone underneath the AD that had the idea. They're now lauding her. I think it's a woman, I read. I think it was an athletic piece. I could be way off, but it is Duke that's doing it. So, yeah, I credit the folks for trying. And, you'll probably need an adjustment. You'll make them bigger. Make them bigger, John. Put them across.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Across their whole chest, instead of the number, just put a QR code. Get it?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Be easier to hit.
I saw the picture of they're making pretty good progress on this thing on the over at Simmons Bank.
Yeah, you see, there is no 25 rows of seats to be sold in that piece right there, right?
No, I think they're going to sell those.
Huh?
They're going to sell those right there. It's just going to be
that whole thing is coming out of there.
No,
so people that sort of envision it as an island and two holes on the side.
No,
that whole piece is coming out.
Huh? That's going to stay, and they're going to sell those at a discount. These are going to be called this is the danger zone. Danger zone.
I wonder if we had to tear it down in pieces like that just because you are literally 11 days from game day, and if you just hit it with a wrecking ball, you got too much to clean up.
That's right. You have to be a little bit more precise. But that's why they've been
surgical with the way they've taken it apart.
So this is how it's going to work. This is what I was told, according to my athletic department sources. So, again, they're going to call this the Dane Danger Zone. And you will be able to get season tickets for $25 on the year. And what you do is you see that that machine right there? You climb. That's how you get up there. You climb up the crane, and then that's how you get to your seat. And that's also how you get down. And the risk really is that crane might or might not be there by the end of the game. It may have to move. And so that's why they're so cheap. You may have to just jump. So, again, it's very intriguing. Perhaps some liability involved. But it's a way for us to raise money for Dane Danger's NIL. And
can we
put you down?
Where is Ed to tell us how the hell we're supposed to maneuver around all this stuff? Come on out, Ed. You gotta tell us how the hell where our hard hats.
I just gave you the most creative NIL idea ever. The Dane Danger Zone. $25. All of it goes to Dane. And all you have to do is just climb up.
There are still rocks falling on that.
I know. That's the rush. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wants a rush. So you watch the Memphis football offense.
I told you we're gonna catch enough grief nationally, man. You and we keep beating ourselves up.
How many feet up do you think that is? Just eyeballing it.
I have no idea. Several stories.
Yeah.
They're up through, you know, several rows of the of that section.
I would say that's about, what, 50 feet? Maybe more?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Four stories, five stories. But,
I mean, this was what, I mean, Joe Rogan on Fear Factor used to do stuff like this all the time. I mean, it was just, you know, part of the, you see bugs and stuff. You don't have to eat any bugs. You know, it's not like it's that crazy. You just got to climb that crane or whatever that is, that bulldozer, and then you get right to your seat. And we will actually airdrop on via drone some concession. It'll be a mystery concession for you if you sit in the seat included.
So now I'm starting to see it. You're going to have that big chunk out. You'll be able to see the Coliseum and the MSEC from the other side.
Right.
And be able to see out of that thing just clearly. And what you'll do is you'll run ropes down the sides of where it's been cut off, the two sections where the cutoff has happened,
right,
and keep people away from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, right? I mean, yeah. That's the way you do that.
Yeah. I mean, it won't look that
so
bad.
So you don't fall off.
It won't look that bad. It'll look just fine.
So all that's going to be cleared out. You see it? Can you envision?
Yeah, no, it will be.
It has
yeah,
to
exactly
be. That
right.
has to be the
no,
way.
And I'll say this. If it feels in 2 weeks like it feels today,
It's less than that at this point.
Yeah, I actually might take my ass out there.
Well, we know how much you love season openers. 5-star. 4-star.
He just can't let it go. I mean, it's just like you just want to move on. You just want to say,
I'm Mr. Can't Let It Go?
Yes, you can't let it go. I mean, Paolo,
excuse me,
and Ant are very similar players, similar trajectories. And I gave you that the Timberwolves game was better, but both, just like, you know, Austin Nichols was a 5-star. Joe Jackson was a 5-star, you know, and Zion Williamson was a 5-star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's different levels to it. Now, you want to make it its own thing. You want to say that the Martin Luther King game, maybe it should just be its own section. Maybe this is what I'll do. I'll pitch to David Boyd. I'll write you a whole thing on this game. I'm going to branch out.
Good.
I'm going to give you 4,000 words on the meaning of this game. Good. And Ant Edwards' history. Would that make you happy?
Yep. No, I just want to see you with a sign there for the season opener. Very excited.
I'm going to be on that Bally Sports. Fire Jason Smith on the...
Yeah, can't let go.
Can't let go. Yeah,
can't let go.
Yeah, but again, like, you know, this is this, and that's fine. I mean, I understand. You're an Ant-Man guy. You've been an Ant-Man guy, and I do hope, you know. Again,
I think this is more about you being a Paolo guy.
I do want to remind you that we will be getting off early, so you will have a chance to get down there and see the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris will want to go.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good excuse, right? Good excuse. And that is going to be a great game. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's not the home opener, but, you know, it is.
I appreciate you saying
that. It's an elite-level game. But yeah, NIL ideas aplenty around the country.
Next story.
It apparently pays to be a general manager in college football. Does Memphis have a general manager? I don't know of one
Zach
yet.
Kleiman.
No. I'm talking about Memphis football.
Oh.
Because the Alabama football general manager, Courtney Morgan, has, as ESPN has written, agreed to a precedent-setting contract for that position. He was a wanted man. USC tried to hire him. Jessica Benson and the boys over there at USC tried to pull him. And Alabama's paid him now an average salary of $825,000. Not an assistant. It's a general manager. Now, as we know, college athletics are becoming more of a business and a professional league, quite frankly, every single day. And I think that's why you've seen this position now sprout up across the country, different places. I'm not sure. You know, we should check. I'm not sure whether Memphis has got one or not. I do not remember an announcement that Memphis has got a general manager, but it feels like we are headed here because, again, you know, Morgan apparently was the what he's been credited with was the general manager behind Washington's runner-up finish last year and had a and I'm imagining these general managers deal with issues more so when you're talking about NIL, player personnel, kinds of things. Bo Davidson?
Bo Davidson is the general manager of the University of Memphis football announced in February of 24.
There you go.
We got one.
So you've added one here this year, February 24.
It's a five-year contract.
So after last year's season, you went out and got a general manager because obviously Ryan Silverfield recognizes this is the future. Yeah, I mean, if I'm a head coach, I've already got my hand in so many pots in terms of what I'm dealing with from personnel, what I need, transfer portal now, everything. Gundy was just talking about how you want to just shut it down and just stick to football. I need as many guys, not coaches, not defensive line coach, not my defensive coordinator. I need some help, especially when it comes to this money, who's getting it, how do I keep it in order, how do I make sure this guy that's producing this much ain't getting much than this guy that I'm promising to come up, but I think one day he, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So you need that guy in there, and it's smart. I'm glad. Thanks for finding that, Brett. I hadn't done it beforehand. It hadn't. I had missed that announcement that Memphis had made that. This is the way that college football is going, and again, it is more evidence of the pro league that it's becoming. And so here's the top of the top. I'd be interested to know what Memphis is paying its, but yeah, right there at the top there for Alabama, they're paying $825,000. That because USC flirted with him, he got a $325,000 raise essentially from his first contract, which was for $500,000.
I mean, that's amazing. And
we ain't talking assistants; we're talking general managers in front office positions.
I don't know exactly what they do that's different from the director of player personnel or director of operations. I don't know how those positions sort of exist separately.
This occurred to me. You know, I loved sports growing up. Knew very early, much like you did, John, we weren't going to be pros.
Mm-hmm.
Martins weren't built for it, and the Smiths weren't built for it. So I figured, you know, Dad did journalism. It'd be great. It's a great way to stick to, you know, follow my love, right? Sports, everything. That was something that, in that case, I mean, it really was something that I wanted to follow and wanted to do because I love sports. And, okay, maybe this won't be like a job. If I was advising my son or a young person, I would say, and you love sports and you can't play it. That's the average American, right? That's most of us. We can't go be Ja Morant or even be a role player. Can't go be Brandon Clark. Hell, we can't be last guy on the roster. I would tell him instead of going and covering it, going into journalism, which we know is a dying world and everything else, go be Zach Kleiman. Go be a general manager. Go train to be that. Go be a general manager of a college football team because they're getting paid like coaches used to get paid. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is $1 million that this guy's making. And that way you stay close to it, and that's going to be more about numbers and putting things together. You know, you can do that without having the athletic background is what I would say. It feels like, again, more of these positions are going to be created, especially in college sports, but you've got the NBA, you've got the NFL. It doesn't have to all be former athletes that worked their way up, and yes, deservedly so. It can be some of those brains because you can't tell me that Zach Kleiman, you know, is that guy. Hell, I guess you can be Taylor Jenkins. I mean, for the most part, right? He didn't have a playing career. Would he play a little bit in high school or whatever it was?
Yeah.
But I'd go back to these front office jobs more, you know, sort of the focus here. That, man, if you love sports, there's a way you can get into it, whether it's the metrics and the analytics side or going up into somebody's front office and making $1 million as Alabama's, you know, general manager now. I mean, the Memphis GM. I mean, that's a job that didn't used to be there that now is. And let me tell you what, college athletics is only going to go more and more toward the money. So these jobs won't be going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, no, it's a new world.
Don't do journalism. Go get a finance degree or whatever it's going to call you, and go run contracts. Go run somebody's personnel department.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, that is the truth.
You can get paid.
More lucrative, and you got to have the analytics piece. Because more and more,
you're gonna have to be a numbers person.
Yeah, but you know that's doable. You've seen some scouting guys that have been hired by NBA teams. Like Corey Evans was hired by the Thunder. Dave Tellup was hired by the Spurs. That's not exactly what you're talking about, but it's the same sort of family, right? It's like, okay, I can bring something that you don't have. As a sports team, I can bring my expertise in relationships. I can bring my analytical, maybe you have something that's proprietary. Maybe you have some kind of, formula or whatever the case may be, right?
Math, bro.
Yeah.
Usually it's about that.
And so
the math to it.
That's what it is. It's like you have to prove. And look, some teams are going to be more open to that than others. You know, some guys are going to be old school and not
Jerry Jones.
To, yeah.
For the most part.
And so they're not going to have any analytical people in their front office. But then they're going to have people like Kyle Shanahan. That's all he's about.
I mean, your boy Mike McDaniel seems like he's of that ilk.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? Oh, he is.
So it just depends on the situation. But, it's definitely, I think the future of you're going to have a lot of, and I say this lovingly, you're going to have a lot of nerds that are working for sports teams, because people are looking for any possible edge, period, right?
Right.
And the numbers can provide that. If you dive deep enough into them, and honestly, if you know what to make of them, you have to sort of sift through a lot of noise with numbers, and I think that's where the smart people will win out.
If Texas Tech is paying $800,000, they're paying theirs $400,000. Excuse me, his is a 2-year. James Blanchard's got a 2-year contract worth $800,000, and Alabama's paying $825,000. Memphis for its general manager pod paying $125,000 too.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Somewhere
yeah.
in between there.
So still a nice living, and you're, just basically, you're not a coach. You're, I don't know what you are. I don't know what the hell. I would like to know, what does a day in the life look like? Because, I know what the director of operations does. Like, he does kind of all the little things that make the thing go, well, director of player personnel. What is a general manager? You mentioned it. Penny's trying to hire one, but he also got rid of his director of operations. So, okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the director of operations. Now you bring in a general manager, which is basically the glorified Debo. That's a nice way to say it.
Yeah.
So what about when you have both? How do those positions, align?
I'm not sure because, again, so much of the basketball ops, too, was a lot of times he's involved in scheduling.
Scheduling.
Now, Penny does a lot of his scheduling, but basketball ops going to be scheduling.
Exactly.
Keeping those two. I would have it all under the same umbrella of my general manager, mm-hmm. that ability to help me in scheduling, but also to be able to crunch the numbers.
Exactly. That's likes the guy being the real GM. Let's be honest about this.
Yeah, no, he does. He,
he got his hand on it all.
That is the thing. It's like he's ultimately going to do what he wants to do.
Yeah, that's undersell his gig opening, but
right, and that's part of it too. It's like somebody who takes that job knows that. So there's Trent Wilkes. Trent Wilkes is the director of football operations at Memphis, and then you have Bo Davidson, who's the general manager. So,
and they have a guy who does combines and focuses on NFL. It looks like too for the football team. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you have Blake Moore who does that NFL liaison. You have, these are jobs that just did not exist. Right, 5, 6, 7 years ago. I've never heard of a, and I'm not saying that it's not useful, but I've just never heard of an NFL liaison. But I guess that's the second part of his job. He's director of player personnel, so it all kind of, that's his duties,
you're probably talking to scouts. You're probably setting up pro days.
Oh, yeah,
you've got
for sure.
two or three
yeah.
pro days, plus you got these mega yes. camps that you're organizing.
But you got two assistant director of player personnel. You got offense and defense.
Man,
I mean, you
heavy.
Got assistant directors of player personnel. So you got a lot of jobs over there at Memphis, man. And we're gonna get you one of them, Jason, because we know we know you wanted to call the plays at the spring game, and you never got that chance.
That's right.
And I think if we can maybe get in there with Drew Martin or Baker Parrish.
I think that might have actually been verbally agreed to at one point.
It was. And I think they did away with it, right? They stopped doing it. Didn't they stop doing the guest caller?
Yeah, it's over when Norvell left. They got rid of it.
Of course it ended right before.
But then it was COVID. I think maybe he wanted to do it, but then COVID prevented it, and then it was over. Once,
wiped out our chance.
COVID just ruined so much. What I would do is I would
It was a legacy thing for me.
I would
dad.
Just call.
My dad
wants
to
Four verts.
Thought I had a chance.
Every time. I'm daring you to stop me. And then on defense, zero
Jeff,
blitz.
Some another thing, Jeff will always be able to hold over us.
That's right.
He got to do it.
He did. He did it. And I don't know.
He'll always have it.
I can't remember if he won or not.
We will never reach that.
Yeah, dude. And you ruined our chances to do the showboats, too.
Mm.
After all the slander you had on them folks.
Hey, I got an email from them.
What'd they say?
Still alive.
Yeah, they're actually, they made a press release the other day because they're making local hires. They were really emphasizing local hires.
Saw it. You want to go be their GM? Go apply.
Hell no.
Go apply.
I don't think it pays.
You might be worthy. You might be qualified. The way you run this station, last few years, last 10 years,
I don't think that
12
job
years?
Pays over there. I don't think they're paying
go
it.
Go get it.
No.
Go get it, Brad.
That would be thankless. Thank you. No, it would be thankless. Again, I promise you. Go try be the GM of the damn Showboats, bro.
We're going to let you do it from home.
Remote?
And from the 92.9 office.
No, thank you.
You still wouldn't take it?
No, thank you.
An extra $50,000.
No, I don't want it on my resume.
That's you crazy. Would absolutely take $50,000 to do it remotely.
No. I'm going to stay clean. I wouldn't have the time or the bandwidth.
It ain't like you got expectations to meet.
No, I got to do a good job. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. You know?
That is kind of nuts.
Yeah, pay me a real salary. We'll go focus on it. We'll go kill this thing. Otherwise, we ain't doing it.
But they didn't just make Steve Massey the GM.
You know what? Not a bad idea.
Yeah. Just make
Steve
him the GM.
Steve knows the damn market.
He's the bank of the marketing. He's the GM.
Now, that makes sense. Not no cap. Like,
well,
that makes sense.
One man front office.
Mm-hmm. And he'll market it like no tomorrow. The problem is, it's just they don't have enough staff. You see, the Memphis Tigers have 4, 5, 6 times more staff than anything that these, you know, minor league football teams are doing. It's just, it's a fact. It's hard to run all this stuff. That's why these minor league teams have such a hard time.
Absolutely.
Because think about it. You got to staff sales, ticketing. So it is.
Absolutely right.
Exhausting gigs, y'all. Don't go into sports unless you want to, you know, find a... It's hard to get those mega jobs, Jason. I know I follow what you're saying, analytics, be an attorney, you know, go be an agent or try the analytics side, maybe videography, but hard as hell. It's like hitting a lottery, bro.
My point was that it's smarter than going into journalism.
Oh, God, yes. That's dead last.
Yeah, because honestly...
That's a good thesis. I agree with you.
You got to be good at both. I mean, the entry to journalism, the cost of entry is higher than it's ever been.
An impossible gig.
You got a real hater here.
Who's that?
I'm sorry. I've been distracted from the conversation a couple of times because this Steeler fan.
Okay.
Oh.
Says that they're going to have a better record than the Bears.
Oh, and boy.
Here's the real slap across the face. And we'll have better QB play. Bookmark it.
Wow.
Now, Brennan Big Sexy 901. I want you to know that's been marked and membered. Steelers, better quarterback play and record than Bears. Now, there's a still proud Steelers fan in this city of Memphis right there. He stepped up. I don't see many of y'all speaking up. How many people are holding up Steelers flags right now, looking forward to the season? We know one.
Yeah, we do know one.
Everybody else, all the other Steelers fans I know are scared.
So it's not going to be Russ. It's going to be your old quarterback, right? Is that what we're thinking?
He's the higher ceiling. What you know is you can have a good rushing offense with Justin Fields, but it doesn't necessarily equate to points, and it doesn't necessarily equate to wins. So
exactly.
Russ is limited. We know it. He's at the end of the road, man. Russ is trying not to get hit. You know, he's missing his number one, George Pickens, wide open.
Like you got a good offensive coordinator in Arthur Smith.
You know, Russ is trying to prove he still belongs in this league and is still worthy of a check, even if it's a league minimum, pretty much. That's where Russ is in his career. That's why you have to just go ahead and go with Fields. Again, the Bears have one of the top rushing offenses in the league. You tell yourself, we're going to start with that. Same thing the Bears did. But what you tell yourself is, we're going to have a better plan than the Bears did. And then hopefully it goes. Ultimately, you're going to see it only goes so far with Justin Fields. And you'd be best moved to move off.
Right. That's
what, and you go, again, see if a Dak Prescott's available. But Dak may take himself out. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely right. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Parth from the Daily Memphis is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the Memphis basketball team and some developments there. So stick around. Jason and John, on Eastern FM.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!